Good morning. I actually have both an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading this morning, and I would like to invite you to turn to both of those as we read the Word of God together. First, our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your feast, you, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maidservants, and the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose, for the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. In our New Testament reading this morning, taken from John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Hear now the word of the Lord once again. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. May the Lord bless the reading of this, his holy word. Would you pray now with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto you, Lord God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I thought that I would start our time of reflecting on God's Word this morning by sharing a funny Thanksgiving story. And I know this story is true that I'm about to share because I found it on the Internet. And we know that everything that's on the Internet is true. So here's the story. Maybe you can relate to this. A lady was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store for Thanksgiving Day, but she couldn't find one big enough for her family. So she found the stock boy and asked him this question: "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" The stock boy replied, "No, ma'am, they're dead." Well, we know that's true. It's a true story. I found it on the Internet. So now on to more serious things. You know, it's interesting. Those of us who are Reformed Christians are aware that our tradition has often despised religious holidays. For example, when Calvin and the Reformers separated from the Roman Church in the 1500s, they were very critical of the feast days that the Roman Church observed, because their observance of these feast days were not commanded in Scripture. And this included both Christmas and Easter. The debate over the observance of Christmas and Easter continued into the Scottish Reformation, which some of you probably are aware, when in both 1560 and in 1566, a clear stance was taken against celebrating Christmas. Some of you might even be aware that as the Puritans and the Pilgrims came to the United States, they outlawed the observance of Christmas. Now, what's fascinating about all of this history is that while the early Reformers tended to be highly skeptical about the celebration of religious holidays like Christmas and Easter, that skepticism did not extend to the kind of thing that we're doing today. gathering together for special services of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, the historian Elsie McKee, in her book titled John Calvin, Writings on Pastoral Piety, recounts how John Calvin believed that there were, quote, special times when God spoke through particular events to call Christians to repentance and intercession or to thanksgiving for mercies and blessing, unquote. McKee tells the story about how Calvin led his congregation in prayer on the Lord's Day on Sunday, November 4th, 1545, interceding on behalf of Protestant brothers and sisters in Germany, Philip of Hesse and John Frederick of Saxony, who were defending themselves in battle from the Roman Catholic forces of their opponent, Henry of Brunswick. The next day, word was received in Geneva that the Protestant forces had successfully defended themselves against the onslaught of Henry of Brunswick, and a tremendous defensive victory was had. Immediately, Calvin called for a special service of thanksgiving to God to be held that Wednesday to thank God for delivering their fellow Christians. Interesting. While Calvin and others remained skeptical about Christmas and Easter for a number of reasons, they were very willing and ready to call the people of God together to give thanks for his special providences. Might we see our gathering together today in that light? Perhaps you might be skeptical about some of the cultural traditions that have encrusted our various holidays, but might we, like Calvin and some of our other predecessors, gather together on this day, willing and eager to give thanks to the living God for the many ways that his providences have blessed us. And so we engage in thanksgiving today, and as we do so, we of course turn to Scripture to explore how we might properly give thanks. And Scripture indeed has much to say that prepares us to give thanks on a day such as this. And in particular, I appreciate some of the insight that the Old Testament gives us in how we might prepare to give thanks. One of my favorite Old Testament feasts in the Old Testament is the Feast of Tabernacles, and coincidentally, the Feast of Tabernacles was a fall harvest feast, similar to today, and was celebrated around the time of our annual Thanksgiving feast. In fact, the Feast of Tabernacles was indeed a feast centered on giving thanks to God. It was itself a Thanksgiving feast. And there are places, actually three of them, in the Pentateuch where Moses gives instruction about how to carry out the Feast of Tabernacles. The passage that we read a few moments ago from Deuteronomy 16. Also in Numbers chapter 29, we have instruction. And also in Leviticus chapter 23. And what we learn from these three texts is that after the harvest had been gathered in the Old Testament period, all of the Israelites were required to gather together as families and to build shelters and to sleep in those shelters for 7 days of the feast, each day then offering a special thank offering to the Lord in the temple. Can you imagine that? Your family gathering together and building a shelter in your backyard each fall, and for 7 nights, you and your family, rain or snow, camping out under the stars in that shelter, in that booth, in that tabernacle as a family. Fun family time for all. By the way, Jews today still celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you were to drive through Jewish neighborhoods of Pittsburgh or even to travel to Israel at the right time of the year, you will see these shelters or booths on the balconies of apartment complexes, on the roofs of flat homes, and even in backyards. What I'd like to do here this morning in the time that I have remaining is to explore together three observations from the Feast of Tabernacles that might help us later today as we gather around the table and as we offer thanks to our God. As we look at these three passages from the Old Testament taken together, one of the things that we can come away with is that they call us to remember to give thanks. To remember to give thanks. If we turn particularly to the Leviticus chapter 23, we can see that one of the reasons why the Lord gave the Feast of Tabernacles to his people was so that they might remember that their ancestors actually lived in man-made booths during the 40 years of their wilderness journey. In other words, the purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles, in part, was that Israelites might remember. They might remember all the different ways that God provided for his covenant people in the wilderness, giving them special gifts like twice water from the rock, manna, quail, and even the Exodus itself. And so each Israelite family was called to reenact the experience of their ancestors for the purpose of remembering the Lord God's many providences so that they might give thanks. Remember to give thanks, these passages inform us. On a personal note, do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with remembering to give thanks? Perhaps we pray about something and ask the Lord to intercede in some way, and then the Lord answers graciously, and we forget. Well, Jesus, nurture in their hearts, by the help of the Holy Spirit, a heart of thanks. You remember Jesus in healing team. How many came back? Just the one. And in that account, of course, Jesus challenges us as his people to be people that remember the good things of God and to give thanks. So today, as you gather around the table of thanksgiving, spend some time reflecting on the truth of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is the challenge to remember to give thanks to God for his many, many blessings. So first of all, the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us to give thanks. Secondly, the Feast of Tabernacles, as we look at these passages from the Old Testament, challenge us to remember to give thanks. Let me say that again. To remember to give thanks. You know, what's so ironic about the Israelite experience is how forgetful they were. If we were to trace Israelite history from the time of Moses, when the Israelites were first given the command to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, forward through the period of the kings, we can see what happened to the celebration of this feast. Do you know what happened? They forgot it. If you remember your Israelite history, eventually, because of their unfaithfulness, the Lord carried Judah off into exile in Babylon. And when Judah returned to the land, one of the things that we learn about these people is that they forgot a tremendous amount about their rich heritage. They even forgot about the command to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. In the book of Nehemiah, we encounter something very interesting. Nehemiah had just mobilized the people of God to rebuild the wall, and he called all the people together to hear Ezra read the law aloud. And as Ezra reads the law all day long, and the people are listening all day long, they encounter something very fascinating. They learn, through the reading of the law, that it's the time of the year when they should be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they drop everything, and they scour the countryside to find branches and building supplies to build little booths dotting the countryside around Jerusalem. And they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for the first time in a generation at least. And as the law is read and as they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, a revival breaks out. And there's great joy, the text says, that spills out from the heart of God's people, giving thanks to God for his goodness in bringing them back to the land and reestablishing the city walls around Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah 8:17 says that this was the greatest celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles since the time of Joshua. So the people of God must remember to give thanks. Seems to me that here we learn much about the nature of human frailty. We can't do this remembrance alone. If Old Testament believers were prone to forget and needed to be reminded to remember, perhaps we are prone to forget as well. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit to stir up in our innermost man a spirit of thanksgiving. It's interesting that this great revival during the time of Nehemiah came about when Ezra was reading the Word of God. Great joy resulted then in God's people. Perhaps there's a correlation between thanksgiving and joy on the one hand and a dedication to the Word of God on the other. So the Feast of Tabernacles calls us to remember to give thanks. It calls us to remember to give thanks. And last but not least, the Feast of Tabernacles calls us to remember to give thanks for the ultimate object of our thanksgiving. You know, there's one final instance in the New Testament that in the Bible that I would like to point out, and this occurrence is actually in the New Testament, and it's in the passage that I read from John chapter 7 a few moments ago. You know, we learn from the Old Testament that during each of the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Israelites were required to go to the temple and offer a drink offering in thanksgiving to God. And we know from the first century Jewish sources, the Mishnah, for example, that this practice of each day offering a drink offering to the Lord took place during the time of Jesus, even. And so in John 7:37-39, during a celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up, the text says, on the last and greatest day of this feast, after having the drink offering poured out 7 days in a row, Jesus says this in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me," Jesus says, "and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of the midst of him will flow rivers of living water." And so Jesus, on the last of the 7 days of the feast, after this drink offering was offered each and every day by the priests, Jesus takes the opportunity of that living parable to proclaim that he is the one. He's the one who satisfies our deepest thirst. He's the one who offers life, living water. So, wonder of wonders, the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast of thanksgiving to God for all of his covenant blessings, finds its ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than all the covenant blessings that Israel was challenged to remember during the feast. He's greater than manna. He's greater than the water from the rock. He's greater than quail. He's even greater than the Exodus itself. He is the one to whom all of those past redemptive acts points. It all pointed to him. So at Thanksgiving, using the Feast of Tabernacles as a pattern, let's remember to give thanks. Let's remember to remember to give thanks. And let's remember to remember to give thanks for the ultimate object of our thanksgiving, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are reminded of the lyrics of that Christian writer, Don Moen, who wrote, "Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us." And so, Lord, this day, as we reflect on Old Testament believers' experience of the Feast of Tabernacles and what it meant to them, Lord, we come to you this day, remembering that it all pointed forward to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the great, great, great object of all of your covenant love. And so, Lord, this day, we give thanks for Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen.